The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Buddy, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Media. You can also find us on Podcast One. You were listening, as usual, to Sean Ryan and Mr. Brad. Brad, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, brother. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. So we're a little bit late in the week for everybody who likes to listen to us on Wednesday when these things drop. I apologize. You know, I had a vacation, so we were recording late, and then Brad had an equipment malfunction in that he lost his headphones this week.
Yep. Malfunction gone.
Yep. So we ended up getting – I had to get Brad set up on some new equipment. So Brad's using a new set of headphones. We'll get him a new microphone this week. So if you hear him a little echoey, we do apologize for that, but it should be fine. We should be able to filter most of that out for you. But, so we're going to be talking about NFC North, the futures. We're going to continue the NFL season previews. Like I said, it's NFC North. Very interesting division. Brad is a huge Packers fan, though he's pessimistic, so you know he's not going to be a homer by any means. I promise you, that's something Brad and I share in common. When we root for teams, we just always assume the worst. So you know, we're not sycophants. We're not Green Bay's going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to go 16-0. We don't do any of that stuff.
That's definitely not us.
No, that is not us.
Not even close. As a matter of fact, we go the opposite.
Yeah, if anything, Brad's going to pick 0-16, but we'll see how that goes. Right. Before we get into that, though, man, I want to talk to you a little bit. The NFL news is starting to hit now that teams are in camp. We're not getting preseason games. We haven't gotten the first catastrophic injuries, which you know they're going to start coming, you know. Is it a skill player? Is it a key defensive player? Is it a key lineman? Somebody's going to start, you know, these guys are going to start snapping ACLs. It's unfortunate, but it's going to happen. And then, of course,
it
Brad,
happens every year.
Every year, there's every one or two year. Major players. And let's just hope, you know, it doesn't take away from the enjoyment of the NFL season. Brad, you and I are just fans of the sport. I know you still root hard for the Packers. I'm more of just a child of the NFL at this point. So
what's going to happen is someone's going to get hurt. I mean, it's unavoidable. And then we're all going to have the same discussions we do every year.
Why do we do preseason?
Right. You know, the OTAs, whatever it may be. It's a contact sport. The injuries are unavoidable. Period. End of story.
Yep. We're going to see a key player on some team go down in the first quarter, in the first 2 weeks of preseason, like you said, Brett. It's going to be a contact or non-contact. You're going to start to see people shredding, Achilles tendons, running routes in practice. And like you said, Brett, we're just going to have these things. But, you know, we're not quite there yet, but what we are seeing now is which players are holding out. Mm-hmm. And there's three key ones kind of on my radar. And really probably from a fantasy's perspective, but they're also – they hold big implications, I think, in just in the NFL in line. So one is Zeke, obviously Ezekiel Elliott. He wasn't on the team plane to go to. I think they practice out in Oxnard. But, you know, the Cowboys reported and Zeke's holding out. You got Melvin Gordon and the Chargers in L.A. And then Michael Thomas in New Orleans. He wasn't totally on my radar. I hadn't been paying as close of attention to him. But I saw on the line that he's holding out in New Orleans as well, which I think that's a big one for New Orleans. As good as Drew Brees is, and I know like it's not like it would be if this were to drag on. It's not the kind of thing that would hold the Saints out of the playoffs, I don't think. And I'm sure a lot of this stuff will be swept up. But that's a big one to me too. Michael Thomas, man, he's a big part of that passing offense. But you know, what do you think about these holdouts? Are you concerned about any of these things? What do you think will get done?
Well, am I concerned about the holdouts? No, I'm not concerned about them. And the older I get, the more I realize that these guys need to get as many cents and dollars that they possibly can. Because you know what? There may not be another time, right?
Yeah.
So if this guy has proven himself worthy of more money, and you know his agent thinks so, the agent's friends think so, the other players in the circle think so, if everybody thinks so, then this guy should get paid. I'm sorry. He just should. Because he could be thrown away at any time, right, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, like you're going to go out there and you're going to get paid $10 million less than what you deserve. I'm sorry, but these gravy trains, man, they come once, maybe twice. Maybe. And if you don't get on board, your entire life is different. So I say, hold out, man.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the teams and players, and so Gordon, I think, could be the nastiest situation. And when I say nasty, I mean the longest holdout, because here's what I think about Melvin Gordon. I'd like him, and I think he's really good. Oh, and by the way, I didn't talk about the Fantasy Football Almanac. That is available, Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide. It's available on Amazon.com. Check it out. You can find it just by searching for Fantasy Football Almanac on Amazon. You can search for my name, Sean Ryan, or you can search for Functional Sportsaholic. They'll all bring you to that Fantasy Football Almanac. It comes with free off-season updates. You know, my rankings are, you know, the publication has been updated as of, I think, July 16th, so it's the most up-to-date. It's less expensive than a lot of the other books out there that do the same kind of thing. So check it out, and you have a line directly into me so I can customize this stuff. So there's the book. Check it out. It is really good. A lot of satisfied people out there, so it's good stuff. But you know, Gordon, when I look at Gordon, and like I said, I love him, he's highly ranked in my fantasy rankings this year. What concerns me is when Gordon went down last year, the Chargers still won, right?
Well, of course they did.
Yeah,
because running back doesn't matter. Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. And and you know, Eckler, who's, you know, kind of the third down back in there, I think he had a game or two where he filled in and he was good. And then there was a game, I think, where maybe even two games where Gordon was hurt late last season and Eckler was out. And they had this guy, I think his name was Jackson or something like that, third string running back. He comes in, he goes for over 100 yards, gets a couple touchdowns.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's the reality.
And so, like Gordon, like you were saying, Brad, like you have a very limited time. When you're running back in today's NFL, you have less time. So I get it, man. I get why Gordon's holding out, because it's like, you know, he has an injury history and he has he could be passing the depth chart if he blows his ACL out, you know. And then what are you looking at? You know, you could be in a situation where you're going to free agency and getting $2 million a year. And
well, listen, I don't pity these guys, okay? Because this is real life we're talking about, all right? Mm-hmm. Every profession, every gender, every race, there's realities in life, okay? And they chose a violent profession that only a young man, for the most part, can do, okay? On top of that, he chose a position that is far less important than it used to be. Not his fault, not anybody's fault. That's just the reality of it.
Yep.
Right. So it's you know, this isn't 1988.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at the Giants, who have maybe the best running back or talent coming out of the backfield in the entire league, arguably Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
What's their over under for this year?
Yeah, I know. I can't actually.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Six wins. You're right.
Six, but he's the best one though. So how can that be?
Yeah, I know.
Because the reality is, it doesn't matter. So you know, I wouldn't pay Melvin Gordon. I'd let somebody else go pay him.
And that's why I think this is going to be very tricky, because I agree with you 100%. With respect to the Chargers specifically, I don't pay Melvin Gordon, because I think Eckler, I think that, you know, these guys, and Phillip Rivers, let's face it, Phillip Rivers is what makes this offense go. And so, like, you look at last year, we were talking last year about Pittsburgh and Le'Veon Bell, and our thought, you know, going in is, you know, at this time last year, we're like, ah, Le'Veon's holding out again. He'll probably get a deal the last week of training camp and, you know, maybe the first week of the season or something. Well, you're already starting to hear buzz that Gordon is willing to take this into the season, and I think the Chargers are willing to take this into the season. So I wonder, because I'm with you, Brad, I wouldn't pay Melvin Gordon.
Right.
Like,
right.
I invest, if anything, I invest in Keenan Allen and keep him happy so that Rivers can keep moving the chains in the passing game.
Right, exactly. And I didn't mean to talk out both sides of my mouth, because we first started talking about Michael Thomas. Now, I don't know what he's asking for, but I think he's only 26 years old, if I'm correct. I think that he's in his prime and he's a receiver. So I think I'd be more willing to pay Michael Thomas than I ever would be Melvin Gordon.
Agreed. And, you know, you look at, you know, Breeze completes, like, what did he complete? Something stupid, like 75% last year. It was crazy. And a lot of those completions went to Michael Thomas, man. Like, Michael Thomas is absolutely elite. And
he's fantastic. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. I mean, the guy, he runs like a deer, and he's long, and he's in his prime.
And what about him specifically is, you know, you look at all these guys, you look like the other elite guys, like DeAndre Hopkins, who we talk about on the show quite a bit. He's very impressive, right? We were talking about him. I think he's a 99 in Madden, right? So he's well respected.
Right.
You look at, let's take another receiver like a Devontae Adams. Like, Devontae Adams now makes like contested catches.
Right.
You know, he gets separation and everything, and maybe the new offensive system, well, we can talk about that today a little bit, but you know, he gets catches. Michael Thomas, I don't know if it's scheme, I don't know if it's talent, I think it's a combination of the two. The dude, like, it's Michael Thomas, right? Like, he's a huge focal point of that offense. He yep. always has 4 yards of separation.
I know.
Insane. And
yeah,
so, like,
it's insane.
That the combination of talent, like physical talent and scheme and knowledge, I think you got to pay Michael Thomas. You got to get him up there and you got to get him in training camp. Because what I worry with respect to Michael Thomas, he plays like a start and stop position. What I mean by that is, like, you're running off the line and you're stopping. Like, just think about like a stop and go route or like a deep out, right? You're running full speed and then you change directions 90 degrees, all right? So you're running
sure.
full speed, you're putting that load and that torque on your knees and ankles. You want his body in camp acclimating to that. You don't want to get him in there in like the third week of training camp and then him basically starting cold, because that's when you start to see more of these guys, like, you know, shred those knees or those ankles. We saw last year with Dez Bryant, you know, he got to the Saints actually like halfway through the season and he blew out his Achilles in the first week. You need
right.
that, those ligaments and those tendons and those legs, they need that. And so, like, if I'm the Saints, I'm trying to get Thomas in specifically. Now, the Cowboys are interesting because, oh, Brad, this is funny. So I don't know why I had this. Maybe I knew we were going to be recording today. I had a dream last night that I called Dak Prescott, like, on my cell phone. And that, like, I dialed his number, like, I butt-dialed him, and I kept butt-dialing him. And so, like, for some reason, I was calling him for, like, 10 or 15 minutes straight. And for some reason in this dream, Dak Prescott was picking up the phone every time I called him. And so, like, so finally, like, I noticed that I was calling him. I picked up the phone. He's like, hey, hey. You know, he's yelling at me. He's like, who are you? You know, you're not that important. You're not that important. So then I was screaming at Dak Prescott. I was screaming at Dak Prescott. I said, hey, Dak, you know, I hear you're going to get $30 million a year. I want to congratulate you. He goes, hey, man, thanks a lot. I said, you're not shit, man. You don't deserve 30 minutes. So, like, we were getting into this whole beef about this. But, yeah, swinging it back. Taking that stupid dream and putting it back in the Cowboys. Like, Dak Prescott, he needs two things, in my opinion. He needs Amari Cooper and he needs Ezekiel Elliott moving the chains. Like,
yeah, yes, he does. You know what's funny about Dallas is that usually it is the passing game that makes the running game work.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if you think I'm wrong.
Agreed.
But in Dallas, if the running game is working, the passing game can function after that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He needs Ezekiel.
Yep, I completely agree with you. So,
me
like,
too.
What we were just talking about the Chargers, like, Phillip Rivers doesn't need Gordon to go.
Doesn't need Melvin Gordon, not at all.
And so now I'm looking at it from Ezekiel Elliott, and look, he has off-the-field stuff. I think Coward actually had a really good analogy. He was talking about, like, I don't know if you listened to him this week, Brad, but he said something like he used the old Seinfeld food ordering at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, bit. That's right. I did hear that one, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, like, you know, when you – the bit and the Seinfeld bit goes, you know, basically when you get to a restaurant, you're hungry. Money is no object. But after
right.
you're full, you're like, gosh, I'm paying all this money for what? I'm not hungry anymore. Why am I paying now?
Yeah.
And he used that, and he paralleled basically Ezekiel Elliott. You know, in week 12, when you're down by 4 points, 4 minute offense, you want to kill the clock and get a touchdown. You want Zeke, right? He's worth the money then. Off season, when he's getting into all this stupid stuff, you hear him, and then you know you don't want to pay him. But you know,
he's good,
man. He's an elite running back. Elite in my fantasy football rankings, elite, you know, it's super important to the Dallas offense. And you look at it from Zeke's perspective, Cooper's going to get paid because Dak needs him. Dak's going to get paid because Dallas needs that stable quarterback. And so when you're Zeke, you're like, I can't wait a couple of years because there might not be any money left for me. I need to get the money now. So I think Dallas has to get this done, and I think they have to get it done before the season. And they don't. They also, like, unlike the Chargers, who we've already seen what Eckler can do back there, the Cowboys have released or not retained Rod Smith, their standard backup. They have this new guy, Pollard, back there who's going to be basically taking snaps. We don't know what he is yet. So, you know, maybe he'll wow people in the first couple weeks of camp and they'll feel okay about it. But, you know, Zeke is one of these running backs that is not easy to replace. He's a three-down running back. He can do everything on the field, and Dak needs him. So I think Dallas has to pay.
He can do everything on the field. I think they have to pay as well.
Yeah, just because.
Actually, I think the guy that doesn't deserve the money is the quarterback on this team.
Yeah, I agree. Right? I agree with you.
I mean, of course, this is just a hypothetical, but I mean, they would. I think they'd be just as good letting him go and bringing in Nick Foles, not paying Nick Foles anything. You know what I mean?
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Like,
as long as you have Zeke and Amari Cooper in that defense and the O line, I mean, they have talent and they're very balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Dak is the one that moves the chains, literally and figuratively. You know what I mean? I don't think he stirs that drink.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about this in the NFC East preview, and we're talking about like Dak in our eyes is kind of poor man's Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And the difference, and we saw what happened when Wilson, you know, got his first payment. You know, the team basically, they had to not have an offensive line, so he's been running for his life for a while. They didn't have any run game until Schottenheimer got there and installed one, their new offensive coordinator from last year and coming into this year. Dallas is to me the same, and I feel like for the Cowboys to be successful, and they're a really good team, I feel like Dak needs to take Tom Brady model and just say, look, you know, I'm not gonna take 30 or 34 million. I'm gonna take 20 or 25 million. Make sure I have Cooper. Make sure I have Zeke, and make sure that we can keep that offensive line intact. And I just think that's the recipe for success for Dallas. But we'll see. But I think Dallas needs to pay up for Zeke, man. And I know we just said, you know.
I know, and we just said the running backs aren't worth it. But for some reason, it's opposite on this team. Unless, listen, Amari Cooper's there, and Dak and Amari had something going late last year, did they not?
They did. They did.
So, you know, maybe the dynamic changes now because Dak has someone real to throw to. Maybe he just blossoms and flourishes like no other this season. That is possible.
It is. It is.
Looking that way. They want a playoff game. Maybe he shows us that he is the man.
Mm-hmm.
But to this point, we've seen what he is. He's, you know, the 16th ranked quarterback in the league who is only super famous for three reasons. One, because he's on Dallas. Two, because he's super likable. And three, because his friggin' name is Dak. All right? You know, it's not Bobby Hebert. Okay? This guy's got a real strong name. All right?
Bobby Herbert.
Bobby Herbert. And I wouldn't discount those facts, man. Yeah. All three of those things add to his popularity.
Dak
but I
is
don't
good,
think he's
man.
That good.
Dak is good. It's a good brand.
Right?
It is. Summer action continues to heat up in the MLB, and the UFC fights are around the corner, and there's only 2 weeks from the NFL preseason. That's right, there was only 2 weeks away. Brad, I know you're just counting the minutes, counting the seconds. Am I right, buddy?
Christmas morning is coming soon.
I know. It's so good. Look, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code podcast1 for that 50% welcome bonus. In the AL and the MLB, you got the Yankees, Minnesota, Houston, Cleveland starting to heat up. Is Boston going to make a run? We don't know. You got the Dodgers, Cubs, Braves. Things are getting spicy in the MLB. UFC 240 is around the corner, and Brad and I are talking about the NFL futures on this episode. You got fantasy football, you know, in general, but we're talking heavy in the NFL futures, and betonline.ag has you covered. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast1 or text BETNOW, that's BETNOW, to the number 238-669 to receive that 50% welcome bonus. Get in on the MLB action. Get in on UFC 240. Get in on the NFL futures and NFL lines when they start hitting. It's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Looking for the best sports coverage on the web? Then check out the Dan Patrick Show on Podcast One Sportsnet. Join the sportscaster Monday through Friday as he covers the biggest games all year long with a whole bunch of A-list guests from the world of sports and entertainment. Download new episodes of the Dan Patrick Show every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. All right, man. Let's start talking about NFC North today. We usually go alphabetical. Brad, I'll hit you with the win total on the air, and we'll discuss whether or not you know, we think it's going to be an over, under, over, or we usually pick one way or the other, under or over. But yeah, the lines have been pretty spot on the last couple of weeks, and I think these are going to be challenging lines this week too, Brad. So we'll get it, and then we'll talk a little bit about the players on the team. So again, let's start with Detroit. Over under, Brad, 7 wins for Detroit this season.
Ooh, boy. I'm going to say under for them. I don't think they're going in the right direction at all, and I think the wheels kind of come off this year. What do you think?
Agreed. This is so we said this last year with Tampa. You know, we had Tampa as kind of the wheels come off candidate. There were some other coaches fired ahead of Dirk Cutter in the NFL last year, Montgomery being one of them, Mike McCarthy being one of them. But Detroit, I think this is a year that I'm seeing 5-11. Bevel's the offensive coordinator this year, so it'll be interesting. I think they're going to be a little bit more run heavy than we're used to them seeing Detroit. To that end, I think there will be some interesting things. I think, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I think Stafford takes a step back. I would not draft him unless you play in a two quarterback format. But I do think Stafford will have some daily fantasy value. I do think that Kerryon Johnson, because look, Bevel, Brad, you remember Bevel was an offensive coordinator for the Vikings when Adrian Peterson was in his heyday. He was the offensive coordinator in Seattle when Marshawn Lynch was going crazy. And they have a talented young running back, Kerryon Johnson. I do think he could be the third running back to get those 13, 14, 1,500-yard seasons in a Bevels-type season. So I do think that from a fantasy point of view, he'll be good. But I just don't see this team doing well. I just don't. Mm.
I don't either. I think it's going to go stale, you know?
Yeah. Stafford, I think it's going to be, they're going to be, and especially in this division, which by the way, alphabetically, I skipped Chicago. So we'll go back to them in a second. But look, they play Chicago, Minnesota, and Green Bay a combined six times. Those could very easily be six losses.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Very easily. I mean, yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the ceiling for them inside the division, the ceiling is 2-4.
Yes, I would absolutely agree. You know, I don't care how bad Detroit is, when the Packers go into Detroit, it's a gamble, right? Yep. It's almost like a 50-50 shot, no matter the talent level of either team. And that's how division games go, right? So, yes, I think the ceiling for them is 2-4 in the division games.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their core talent here. You got Galladay at the wide receiver position, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, Mr. Concussion, he's just never available. I like him, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the one time that Bevel had, and I don't include Russell Wilson in this because he was kind of young and up and coming while Bevel had him for a while there, but Favre was the one established quarterback that he's had back in Minnesota. He had a season or two with Favre and with Adrian Peterson. So Stafford, it's not that I think they're going to like completely deflate Stafford and his stats, but I think the days of Stafford going for 5,000 yards are behind us. And this defense, Matt Patricia, they hired him, he's the Patriot way kind of thing. It's the age old thing. It's a Patriot assistant. Is he really going to be that valuable? I don't know, man. I'm seeing 5-11 for this team, 6-10. I don't see them hitting 7 wins in this division. Because think about it, if they go 2-4 in the division, which we said is in the ceiling there, that means they have to go, 5-7 in the rest of the way outside. Yeah. I think that's a little
7-5, right?
If they go 2, then hitting the wins to go over, they'd have to go 6-.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yes, correct. 6-6. 6-6. I don't think they're a 500 club outside this division. So yeah. I'm taking the under on them as well. I think they'll take a step back, and I'm unfortunately for Detroit fans out there, I don't think Patricia's the answer. So we'll have to see. All right, Brady. So we got Chicago next. I'm going back to them alphabetically. So we have Chicago over under, Brad, 9 wins.
You know what? I put them right at 9.
I know.
If I had to guess one way or the other, I would say under. Only because I don't know if they have the experience at quarterback to repeat what they did last year. I think they trail off just slightly.
Yeah, this is kind of like I know it's Trubisky's third year, but it's kind of like a sophomore season because it's his second year in this offense. Defensive coordinators have a year of tape. Again, tough division. I do think they're a 9-7 team. I'm right on that 9, just like you are, Brad. But if you held me to an over under, I say under simply because Fangio left and went to Denver, and it's going to be hard. I mean, I think his. This defense last year is so nasty. It's going to be nasty this year. Pagano will be back. Will be there. I think the defense will be okay, but I think that's a big loss. And I don't think that, I don't think that that's being reported as much. That's a loss, man. That's a loss when
Yes, it absolutely is. Also, I'm glad you said that because last year they led the league in takeaways. I'm pretty sure of it by a very large number.
They did.
I think that second place wasn't even really close. If I remember correctly, I could be wrong, but I think it was like half the amount or something a little bit above that. Anyways, my point is some seasons, these teams, they just get the fever for taking the ball away, mm-hmm. you know, and it almost becomes like it becomes a habit, like the inertia is created and that's what you do. But that is extremely difficult to reproduce year in and year out. It is very, very tough.
Yeah, look, you have Khalil Mack still wreaking havoc, right, off the edge, right?
Yes.
You still have a lot of talent on this defense, and Pagano is a good coach. So it's not like all is lost here. But like you said, Brad, I mean, that's hard to consistently create turnovers like that. Like right. We saw that, I think, in the Lovie Smith era in Chicago. We saw, like, you know, they were really good at punching the ball out. Peanut Tillman was, like, maybe the best I've ever seen at punching the ball out. You know, from a defensive back position. But, you know, you look at this year, I just think the defense will still be one of the best defenses in the league, but it's hard to produce. And we talked a little bit about Cleveland, I think, last week. You know, Greg Williams in the Cleveland Browns last year, I know we got all this hype about Odell and Baker Mayfield's second year and all this stuff. They've produced a lot of turnovers in Cleveland last year. And now Greg Williams and that whole scheme's gone. And they have another good defensive coordinator there. But that, you know, it's not all about the offense. It is a lot about it, but it's not all about that every single time. And so now you look this year, you have Trubisky, you know, in his second year in this system. Jordan Howard's gone. You have David Montgomery, a rookie coming in. He's heralded. Everybody kind of assumes he's going to be the next great running back in this system. Tariq Cohen, he's going to be very good this year. I like the talent. Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller. I think Anthony Miller would be the best receiver in this system. But I'm worried, man. I'm worried about this team. I think Burton probably takes a step up. But I think that, you know, I think it's just going to be a tough sledding for this team, man.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it is a tough division this year. I think Green Bay is going to be better, not because I'm a homer. I actually do think they're going to be much better. Mm-hmm. And I think Minnesota is a force to be reckoned with. You know, I don't think they're going to be any better or worse than they have been the past couple seasons. And for the past couple seasons, they've gotten some pretty tremendous results. And I don't know how well Mitch, you know, can the guy carry the team? I just don't know. And if they don't create those turnovers, now granted, they have a complete maniac. They have Bobby Boucher, Khalil Mack on the other side of the ball. The guy is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, hey, maybe they can. You know, maybe that's what you need to create all those turnovers constantly.
Yeah, the pass rush certainly helps with that. All right, so let's move it on to Green Bay, a team that's near and dear to your heart. So Matt LaFleur, another guy in the Sean McVay tree, he's taking over for McCarthy. And what we talked about last year, Brad, was that McCarthy, you were kind of complaining about this before McCarthy got fired. You say, you know, McCarthy, his scheme just seemed stale and the receivers were never open.
You're right.
And so the thought is now LaFleur comes in, and what I said about LaFleur when we were doing, you know, our season review season reviews and just talking about kind of the future is, you know, can LaFleur come in and give the same shot in the arm to Aaron Rodgers that McCarthy did for Favre back in the day, right? You know, Rodgers, look, he still had a nice season last year. I think he had like 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Correct.
And, you know,
an injured year.
And an injured year. He was not as strong with his knee because he had a knee injury. I don't know if it was meniscus or what, but he just wasn't himself last year. So now you have LaFleur, a new system that should, in theory, scheme wide receivers open. You still have talent. And now this year you also have Aaron Jones. So you're the Packers guy, man. What do you think about this setup?
You know, I think that the results, you know, they're yet to be seen, obviously. I do think they're going to be better because I don't think they could get much worse than what they had going on. I mean, I don't think you spent a lot of time watching the offense. This is how good Aaron Rodgers is, by the way. Not to, you know, slurp the guy, but their offense was terrible. Nobody was ever open, and I doubt that was Aaron's fault.
Yeah.
All right? And they still managed to win a bunch of games with maybe – I mean, I'm telling you, this was like the most anemic offense I've seen in a long time. They had nothing going on, and the guy still threw for 25 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Yeah.
Okay? Both, I think, were against Khalil Mack, right? And the offense was terrible, and McCarthy had to go. So from that standpoint, to answer your question, I think they are going to be better because I just think any amount of change from where they were at is going to be better. Now, if LaFleur, the Spanish goalie, has any bit of talent, who knows? You know, if he has any bit of zest or talent or ingenuity, then it could be super dynamic. Well, I think they're going to be a force.
Well, we talked, and we'll talk about the AFC South, I think, next week. But in the review, you know, we were talking about Mariota. We'll get into the whole Mariota thing. But Mariota went from a completion percentage of like 50-something, I think, 2 years ago to like 68 last year. Now, he still sucked. We'll talk about that next week. But the completion percentage went up, right? And if he can somehow make Aaron Rodgers more efficient, and if he can just get some of these, like, I think Aaron Rodgers, by the way, if you could tailor make an offensive system for him, it would be the Shanahan system. Mobile guy, bootleg, and receivers always open 20 yards downfield. I mean, that,
you know, that's the thing I always wondered about McCarthy. Why don't they ever bootleg and roll him out? Because if there's one quarterback that can throw on the run, maybe even better than in the pocket, it's that guy. And I like, the whole thing looked like McCarthy. It's like the guy was drawing up an offense for Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, when he had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
It's like everything that he was coming up with didn't fit what Aaron could do. And Aaron managed to win and play well in spite of McCarthy. That's just how it looked to most people anyways, especially me.
Yeah, that's actually really – I've never heard that, but that's, you're exactly right. You know, he was a typical pocket, and Aaron Rodgers – you know, it's the timing, West Coast offense, I get it. But so is the Shanahan offense. But they just added a little bit of wrinkles. Now, keep in mind, so LaFleur, if you're going up the coaching tree, right? So LaFleur is in the McVay tree, but McVay comes from influences of the Mike Shanahan offense from his time in Washington and Jay Gruden. So there are going to be these kinds of concepts in there. I think it's going to be a good fit. To me, it's all about whether or not Rodgers can actually stay healthy.
Right.
And we're going to see what that is. But I do think Aaron Jones is going to be – and I do think, by the way, Rodgers has a rebound season if he can stay healthy. It's, you know, that's the big if for me. I think Aaron Jones is going to be used more in the system. I think they're going to take more pressure off of Rodgers, but Rodgers is still going to be great. I think Davante Adams is going to have a huge season because I think, you know, instead of him making a ton of contested catches, I think he will have some open opportunities. So I think he'll have a big season. You know, from a fantasy perspective, you know, Jimmy Graham might have an uptick in touchdowns there. We'll see. But Geronimo Allison, Valdez-Scantling, St. Brown.
Love Geronimo.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be the other prominent guy there because I think there's a lot of talent, and that's a good problem to have. That's a good problem to have. For me, I think Geronimo is going to be the second guy there. He had some injuries last year. So we'll see. We'll see what goes. But I do think the Packers have it up here, and I didn't say the over-under, Brad. It's they have them at 9 wins, Brad. Are you taking the over or the under there?
I would absolutely take the over. And you know, maybe I'm foolishly optimistic, but I have to say, Sean, I don't think so, because you may agree with me. The older you get, the more you realize that bullshit could be just around the corner in any moment. So what some may call pessimism, I call realism. You know, it's like, hey, listen, all right. It's like when a 25-year-old gets a new girlfriend, everything is butterflies and the world is – and you go, okay, all right, well, check back in 3 months. Let's see how it's going.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So maybe I'm foolishly optimistic, but I don't think so because I like what I see. I like the defensive pickups, and I think Aaron comes back with this new coach invigorated.
I completely agree, and the early returns are showing just that, invigoration. And I'm glad you brought up the defense, because before we're moving on to Minnesota here, I'm glad they kept Mike Pettine. I think he's an underrated defensive coach. I think he had a lot of holes to fill. So that retention, in addition to LaFleur, I'm bullish on Green Bay this year. I like them. I do think that they could, and I think they will win the division. I think they're more like an 11-5.
I agree.
Maybe
well.
Even 12-4. Maybe
right,
even 12-4.
Right.
And this
I
is a
agree.
Tough division. So let's move it. Lastly, to Minnesota here. Over under, Brad, 9 wins for Minnesota.
You know, I want to give them the over. To be honest, I think they have a very good squad. And, you know, I could be coming from a place of bias because growing up, Minnesota and not Chicago was always the enemy. You know, they're the ones that had Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper. And so that maybe is sticking with me. It's like the purple uniform terrifies me, to be honest.
Yep.
You know, So I always assume it's like Seattle, something about Seattle, man. I don't want to play them.
Yeah.
But I do think that Kirk Cousins is more than capable of getting a team to the playoffs like we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would give them the over. What about you?
I'm with you, man. We actually are lock and step this week. It's a rarity for us to be 4-for-4.
True.
True. Yeah, I think that this feels like a 10-6 team to me. You know, the change they made at the end of the year to change offensive coordinator there, and focusing on the running game. I think that's going to be the key. Kirk Cousins is a super effective quarterback. As long as he's not on national TV,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah, so true.
So, you know, I think this is a 10-6 team, which contributes to why I think the Bears are more like a 9-7, 8-8. I think this is a team
right,
that it
right.
would not shock me at all if three teams make the playoffs from this division. But there's a lot of, as we talked about with the NFC East, man, there's a lot of good teams. You have Dallas and Philly in the East. You have these three that we just talked about. Sorry, Detroit, but I'm only thinking about the three teams there. You have Carolina, who's always kind of like a mystery, but I'm bigger on Atlanta. I know we'll get to it, but I'm bigger on Atlanta than you are. We still have the Saints. The 49ers are going to be better now with Garoppolo back. You have the Rams, and you have the Seahawks, man. This is a deep – it wouldn't shock me, man. It wouldn't shock me if three get in. It wouldn't shock me if one get in this division.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of parity in this conference, so that's cool. Yeah, man, and the defense, you know, they had some injuries, and yeah, I think Griffin was out, I think, for personal reasons for a long time last year. I think the defense is going to take a step back up, and they weren't a bad defense. They just weren't dominant, but I think they're going to be back to maybe dominant form. You know, I think they'll probably have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder even because everybody's talking about the Chicago defense, and they're within their own division, so I think that's going to, you know, go into it. I like these Zimmer teams. They always play hard.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, I think, is going to be a nice running back from a fantasy perspective. I see him as a second rounder. But everybody's sleeping. Remember, Latavius Murray, who's now in New Orleans this year, he had like important carries last year. I think this is going to be a two running back offense. Everybody is sleeping on Alexander Mattison, the guy that they picked up in the draft this year. I think Mattison is going to be a nice deep sleeper for people and be a great early season daily fantasy play. I think he's going to be a great late round pick for people. And if you're in a dynasty league, I think he's going to be a great dynasty pick because Dalvin Cook's always hurt, man. He always gets hurt. Receiver, man, I don't think there's a better tandem in the league. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, they're fantastic.
Great. They're great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think they have a great defense, too. Defensive line.
Yeah.
They got that secondary. Who's that white chocolate they got back there? That guy.
The guy from Notre Dame. I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know who you're talking about.
The guy's vicious, man. Yeah, safety. He's fantastic. It's a strong unit over there, man. It's a prideful bunch, too. It seems like I don't know why I get this impression, but it seems like it's a group of guys that really want to win and punish you while they do it.
And they play good team ball. Like you know, they don't have a team of stars, which is what I'm concerned about with Cleveland. They play good team ball. They're a unit, right? It's almost like when you like watch the Olympics, you know, and the United States basketball team go there and they send their stars and they win. But you know, there's always like this one game where they run into like a Spain or like I don't know, like a Brazil, like a team that is full of like 34-year-olds that have been playing together for 20 years, and they just they just play good team ball. You know, Argentina.
Yeah.
And I feel like this. If again, health is the big factor here with all of these things that we're talking about, but all things being equal, if they can stay healthy, this Minnesota team, man, this team is built to make a deep playoff run. Well, I would, you know, if the games weren't nationally televised in the playoffs, they're still going to get bounced the first game in the playoffs. But
their quarterback has never won a big game.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
He just hasn't won a big game. And it's like
he gets the yips, man. It's like the Peyton Manning yips in these national TV games. So Cousins has
some dudes got it in the big moment and some dudes don't, man.
Look, Cousins is going to put up stats this year. I think he's kind of a lower level this year starter. He is a top starter in the league. Like I think I have him 12th in my rankings going into preseason. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But if you're in a 12 team league, that's a weekly starter. Yeah, man, but he's good. It's just that he just gets the yips a little bit in these big games, and these Gotta Have It games and these nationally televised games, which tend to, you know, correlate, right? Gotta Have It games tend to be nationally televised. And,
of course, right?
But I think 10-6, 11-5 is feasible for this team. I do.
I do too, unfortunately.
Interesting division, buddy. Interesting division.
Yeah, it is an interesting division. It's actually projected, you know, as we talk about it, to be one of the better ones. And I don't think that was the case maybe 2 years ago or even last year.
Yep.
I think, it, you know, and it's not like Detroit is some type of three-win dumpster fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
They could easily win seven games, and I believe that's where their over-under was, right?
Yep.
So it's a competitive one, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. I think this whole NFC is going to be a brawl this year.
NFC is just stacked and loaded. God.
I mean, seriously, like, it wouldn't shock me. I'm going to name the teams off the top of my head that it wouldn't shock me if they make the Super Bowl, okay? Philadelphia wouldn't shock me.
Right, right.
Dallas would not shock me. Yeah. Green Bay, Minnesota would be just because of the national TV angle.
Sure.
So Green Bay wouldn't shock me. I'd be a little surprised with Chicago. Wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if San Francisco makes a run with Garoppolo there and they win, like, you know, they just go 13-3. Wouldn't shock me.
Wouldn't shock me either.
I expect the Saints and the Rams to be there at the end of the year.
Seattle.
It wouldn't shock me if Dan Quinn gets the Atlanta defense back under control and Dirk Cutter's, you know, high-flying offense if Atlanta makes a run. We're only a couple of years removed from Atlanta being in the Super Bowl and, frankly, should have won the Super Bowl against the Patriots. It wouldn't shock me. Like, two teams from every division could make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's pretty stacked. I don't ever remember it being this way.
And then I look at the AFC, obviously the Patriots and the Chiefs, right? It wouldn't shock me if the Chargers make it. I'd be a little surprised. Wouldn't shock me if Pittsburgh makes it. Then
no, not at all. Right, sure. So I think Pittsburgh could be there.
Then you're four. You're at four teams. Wouldn't shock me if Indianapolis makes it.
All right, how about this? What about the Texans? Would that shock you?
A little surprised because I just don't think they're there yet on the offensive line. But wouldn't shock me. They're kind of like Chicago to me. Probably a better version of Chicago. Wouldn't shock. Wouldn't completely blow me away. I'd be a little surprised, but wouldn't be like, holy crap, like. You know, when I look at these things, I'm like, okay, if I'm betting on futures for Super Bowl odds, you know, who would I throw 10, 20 bucks down on? Every one of those teams I just mentioned, I'd be like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, man, it's wide open this year. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And we got how many more meaningless, pointless Sundays do we have to drudge through? Is it four?
I think we might be at six because the first game is going to be after Labor Day, right? So,
yes.
You know, we're going to get the Hall of Fame game soonish. Then we got like weeks 1, 2, and 3 of the preseason are usually pretty fun to at least monitor. And then we have that awful week 4 preseason and then boom, it's there.
Yeah. And you know, what's fun is that, you know, I like that first weekend where it's college and there's not football. It's here we go.
Yeah.
It's like a nice weekend.
It's like the appetizer.
Like the appetizer. Well done.
Yes. All right.
You're brilliant. You're a brilliant man.
Oh man. Beautiful. Sometimes I come up with some stuff.
And you're freaking gorgeous.
Oh, I'm fat now. I gotta get the gym. I'm a fat. I'm going vegetarian during the week now, man.
Well, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I was telling our mutual friend Rocco last weekend. I was messing with him. I said, I want everyone to get fat except me, because he's eating donuts or whatever the hell he's shoveling into his mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, get nice and fat.
Yeah, I know. the days of 6% body fat are a little far behind me. But I'll get back.
You seen those Boston creams or the Krispy creams? What are they?
Boston creams. And no, I don't indulge in those as much. The problem actually is booze. I've been drinking too much of the scotch on the weekends and having some cookie. I like that. The diet actually hasn't been awful. It's just I've been, you know, taking more calories in with the brown, with the scotches and the
bourbon. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, that'll do it for sure. But man, is that the?
Yeah, it's the best.
I reserve all my calories for booze. Yeah, so there it is.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, Brad, you and I have been talking about getting YouTube stuff up and running. Maybe we'll. One of the ideas I had, because you know I'm doing the super contest right in Vegas. Maybe like we could do a show where we track our top 5 bets just on YouTube, where we'll split screen it. We'll talk about like our top 5 bets as a show, and we can call it just Scotch and Football or something like that.
Oh, I dig. I like that. Write that down. Send it to my secretary.
There you go. Scotch and Football. And then, we'll chase the McKellens and the Glenn Levitts and all these people, for the, Or maybe we'll call it Brown and Touchdown, you know? There you go. There's two great brands right off the bat. If you're listening to the show, don't steal my idea before we do it.
Wisconsin football, buddy. That's the one. You're a brilliant man.
Yeah. Cool, man. So I think we end the show there. You know, we'll talk about AFC South next week. We'll be back on our regular schedule, I think. Recording on Tuesday, dropping on Wednesday. Sorry this one's a little late, but, you know, sometimes Brad and I have some life to take care of, right? It's a little thing called life.
Every now and then, buddy.
Yeah. All right, but hey, Brad, thanks for taking the time, and you know I know this was kind of tight to get the recording in. Everybody else, thanks for listening once again. Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide. Check it out on Amazon.com. It is awesome, if I do say so myself. Go out, make some bets, get paid.